Going to read this prophecy 700 years before Jesus was born. And I want you to listen to this. I want you to bear something in mind while we look at these royal titles given to Jesus at his birth. None of these were earned by him somewhere in his life. He was born with these titles. I like the stanza of Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God, Love's Pure Light. Radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Twice, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Can you say amen? A lot of there's a movement afoot now to go back to the old hymns, the ancient hymns. This was penned in the 1800s, Silent Night was. And a lot of the hymns from the 1800s that are kind of pushed out now because I think the church kind of wore them out and maybe didn't sing them with the enthusiasm they were meant to instill. But there is a movement back to the old hymns of the faith. Do you know why that movement is? It's because the theology in those hymns was pure and powerful and doctrinally accurate. Amen. About Jesus and about redemption and about salvation and about how we should worship him. Amen. It wasn't anything vague about the lyrics when it said, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never changing. Amen. There's powerful stuff back there. Joni Erickson is conspiring with another lady who are bringing back and reintroducing the old hymns. There's a lady and her husband that is recapturing the essence of the old hymns and bringing them back to the church and introducing them to choirs and contemporary churches, and people are beginning to embrace it again. And my heart is warmed by that. There's something called there's a project right now, the Odes Project, where they have discovered in some of the catacombs some ancient Christian worship songs. And they've set them to music, and choir is singing them, and they're the songs that were sung by the early church. Wow! And we're going to bring some of those songs. I'm going to get a hold of that. I've been looking for it. If I have to order it, I'll order it. But we're going to bring some of those songs and let you hear what they sang in the first century, the lyrics and the attitude of the heart of worship toward the Lord. Because there's a lot of high impact noise that is coming to the church that is void of any real biblical theology. And I believe the music ought to be more vertical to the Lord than horizontal to the people. Can you say amen? David said, come, let us worship the Lord together. Come, let us magnify the Lord together. Praise God. Amen. Well, we're going to magnify him today. Now, here's something that I like about Isaiah 9:6, because it's telling us about his royal titles, or he shall be called by name, these titles. His name, the Bible said, would be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. If you take the name Jesus that was given to Mary to give him as his surname, it's a common name. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. We talked about that on our radio broadcast. Amen. Jesus was a very common name among children in his day, because it's a derivative of the Old Testament Yeshua or Joshua. And Joshua was a great hero to the Christian people. So when they in the Aramaic, it's Jesus. Aramaic, because they went down into Babylon, they lost their language and they got mixed with other languages, and Jesus spoke and they were speaking in his day in the Aramaic tongue. And so Joshua, Jesus, is a derivative of the Old Testament Joshua. The angel told Mary, you shall call his name Jesus. He's a deliverer. That's what Joshua means in the Hebrew. He's a deliverer. He's a savior. You shall call his name Jesus, his surname, for he shall deliver his people from their sins. And down the road, there was another Jesus. But he wasn't that Jesus. Can you say amen? He wasn't virgin born. He wasn't God incarnate. And maybe even more important than just the name Jesus is the fact that this, to distinguish him from any other Jesus, because they found some bone box not too long ago, and the guy in it was called Jesus. Well, that's going down here in the graveyard and finding somebody who's named John. Amen. There's a lot of Johns out in the graveyard. But that doesn't distinguish anyone in particular. Jesus was distinguished in the fact that he shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Can you say amen? Born of a virgin. That's what set him apart. And that's why they discredited. They said, well, it can't be his bones, because there was Jesus's all over that community. See, if they found his bones, he didn't rise from the dead. Can you say amen? And they're looking for something they will never find. The Ark of the Covenant, I believe, is probably in Ethiopia. Personally, all the research I've done on it, that's probably where it is. There's churches down there that over the front door of the church, instead of a cross, they've got the Ark of the Covenant down in Ethiopia. They preach the cross. They're Christian. There's a big Christian movement in Ethiopia and great revival. I got some praise from Ethiopia not too long ago from those. There's a revival. Praise God. Amen. And I appreciate seeing people with their hands raised in their own native tongue praising the name of the Lord. Praise God. But the difference in Jesus is that his name was going to come to earth and lose none of his divinity, but blend it perfectly with fallen humanity and yet without sin. And that's an incredible thing for God to do. One thing I also want to instill this morning, running to the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. That's not running from the devil. People are wanting to get so strong and so well spiritually equipped that we don't need to run to God anymore. Honey, God has designed faith in a way to make you dependent on him, not independent from him. Beware of messages today that put you in control. I do not want to be in control. Now, you may have this, no aspersions to you. I personally don't want a bumper sticker that was so popular some years ago that said, God is my co-pilot. I do not want God as my co-pilot. I want God to be the pilot. Can you say amen? Amen. I want to turn the full control. Amen. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He will bring it to pass. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Praise the Lord. Amen. You want it to read this way? God is my pilot. I'm the co-pilot. No, I don't want to even be the co-pilot. Amen. I want to be like the preacher that said, I don't want to even be in the back seat while he's driving, because you tend to try to tell him which road to take. Can you say amen? How many know that's why we get the label of backseat driver? Because it's someone that doesn't have their hands on the wheel, but they're telling you how to drive. Can you say amen? Some people need a little help, my wife says. That's true, but God doesn't need any. Amen. I need it, but God doesn't need it. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that preacher said that I've quoted many times. Tell you what, Lord, here's where I need to be. You take the wheel. Put me in the trunk. Lock the trunk. And when we get to where you want us to go, open the trunk and let me out. Can you say amen? I believe that's faith. I really believe it is. Because if you're in the trunk, you can't tell him how to drive. And you can't question his decisions. And you're not asking all these things. You just curl up in there and enjoy the ride. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Running to the Lord is not running from the devil. It's understanding the place of safety is in the Lord. And the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Every time I used to preach that message, that word safe means it's like a tower that is far above the enemy, that they cannot get up that high. Amen. Where the enemy would like to get to you, but they just can't reach you. It's kind of like Daniel in the lion's den. The Bible didn't say he took the lions away. He shut to the mouth of the lion. And all night long, half starved, because they half starved those lions so that they would tear their victim to pieces quickly. They wanted to see the rage of those lions and hear the screams as they pounced on them and quickly tore them to pieces. And these half-starved lions walked up to Daniel and begin to try to to open their mouth, and their mouth would not come open. God sent an angel and shut to the mouth of the lion. Can you say amen? And all night long, you could probably hear this sound of those hungry lions smelling this wonderful meal, standing there in serenity in the midst of them. Praise God. Amen. But they couldn't open their mouth. Paul knew he had an enemy called the devil. And you know what he said? He said, God has shut to the mouth of the lion. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, I'm no different from Daniel. You're no different from Daniel. Amen. Jesus literally said, Satan would like to sift you. You say, oh, that was Peter. Read it closer. Get into the grammatical order of it. This is a statement based for all believers. When Jesus said Satan had desired to have you to Peter, it was in the plural sense. You all of you who believe. Amen. It trickles on down to us. Satan would love to sift you as the wheat. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. Can you say amen? Don't ever get the poor old me's and feel like you're left alone down here to fend for yourself. Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. Amen. The Bible said that we don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, come boldly before the throne of grace. Why? Because he's going to stand up in your behalf. He's going to make intercession for you. Can you say amen? According to the will of God, by his Spirit. And I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. That means that you just by faith overcome, by the sheer force of your faith? No, no. Hey, amen. He's pointing you to himself. He's pointing you to his intercession for you. He's pointing you to him. Can you say amen? Amen. I just hate to see people taught to operate, to build their faith to a point of being more independent from God. The higher level your faith goes, the more dependent you become upon the Lord. Amen. I saw, it was so funny. I'm going to tell this. I wish Ditter's daughter was here to hear this today. She went to church at my cousin's church up in Brooksville, Church of God. Amen. And her daughter said to him after the service, you preach like Brother Venable. He said, I am Brother Venable. Can you say amen? She said, no, I mean that Brother Venable in Tampa. Amen. So anyway, they went to church up there. But my daddy told me something. And this is probably why he'll never ask me to preach if he knew I knew this for him. Because my daddy told me that when he was about 5 years old, they were driving somewhere and my dad was in the back seat with him and his parents. And he crawled up in my daddy's lap. Now this preacher with gray hair, you know, and looks like an old guy, not like me. I'm much older, but I'm kidding. He's a nice guy. And, you know, he's Church of God preacher and he's got it, you know, he's got it together. And I love telling. So when he's 5 years old, he got over in my daddy's lap. He said, Daddy, he said, pretend I'm... He said, Uncle Bob, he said, pretend I'm your little baby. So he laid back in my dad's arms. He's about 5 years old, big old galoocher. He's laying back in my dad's arms. He says, Grandpa says, rock me like I'm a little baby. So my dad took him and began to kind of rock him back, and he's laying back. He says, now put me over your shoulder. And he put him up and like that, and he put his head right in here. He said, now burp me, Granddaddy. That's a true story. Dad just told that to me. He does not want me to come because sure as I go, I'll tell it. That'll humble him, won't it? We keep him humble. Can you say amen? Pray. We'll help the Lord keep him humble. Praise God. But you know something? I looked back there and saw that same thing going on today. Amen. In back of the church. Amen. And it was so sweet to see little... Kayla, amen, back there, like a little baby with a blanket laying. And I went back, shook everybody's hand, and except when I went up to them, I said, oh, she's just a booty with the baby. She's just a wheat little baby. Amen. Well, everybody wants to grow out of that babiness and grow into a spiritual maturity. But spiritual maturity doesn't take you away from childlike dependence on the Lord. That's why Paul, when they looked at him, and now these gifts are flowing, these visions are occurring, these experiences are taking place. And you know what he says? He said, we're not sufficient as of anything of ourselves. Faith hasn't developed to make us self-sufficient. Can you say amen? Nothing of ourselves makes us sufficient. Our sufficiency is of the Lord. Can you say amen? And when they looked at him and they put him on a pedestal when he ministered on Mars Hill, and the power of God attended his ministry, and they said, the gods have come down to us in the form of men. He opened his robe, showed them his flesh, and said, no honor, no glory, none to us. It's not us, it's him. You worship, you don't know what you worship, he told them. Amen. We know what we worship. We know. Oh, he said, I know in whom I have believed. Persuaded he's able to keep everything I've committed to him against that day. His faith was all about Jesus. All about dependent upon the Lord. Don't get into a doctrine that makes you self-sufficient by faith. It is not the faith of the Scripture. Amen? God wants you dependent. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous do what? Just stand our ground. No, we run. We run into it. And we're safe. Your safety is keeping a dependence upon Him, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. This is all about Jesus. Faith is all about Jesus. Faith's focus is Christ and God. Listen to this. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Almost 100% will take Wonderful and Counselor and put them together. Actually, you could do it either way. It's going to end up about the same. He's wonderful in that he was virgin born. Therefore, he is a counselor extraordinaire because he was God incarnate. He gives us God's wisdom. Everybody say God's wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, the Bible said, let him ask of God. Amen. If you want the real wisdom that comes from God Himself, He created us. He knows how to fix you. He knows how to help you. He knows how to get you. He knows how to deliver the righteous, the Bible said. I've been in pickles and predicaments that I didn't know how I was going to get out of it. And I couldn't even think or conceive how God could get me out of it. Amen. But the good news is I didn't have to figure it out. The Bible said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Commit thy way unto Him. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Can you say amen? God's wisdom is phenomenal. There's nothing like it in all of the world. Amen. No one would have thought, amen, of the plan of salvation by God taking on flesh. God the Son became the Son of God and the Son of Man, that He might take our place on the cross. Devils didn't understand it. The disciples didn't understand it. Nobody got it, can you say amen, until after it was finished and done. For if the rulers of this world had known, can you say amen, they would have never crucified the Son of Glory. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. But they didn't know. And Peter didn't know. And James didn't know. And his mama didn't know. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. This was God's plan. And it wasn't anything man could ever conceive. Hallelujah. That's why he's a wonderful counselor. Glory be to God. Amen. Everybody say wonderful counselor. And here we are trying to figure him out. And the Bible said the revelation we have is pertaining to life and godliness. It's not pertaining to a lot of other stuff that only is. Actually, the Bible said the secret things belong to the Lord. You say, Brother Bumble, I don't understand that. Well, is it going to hinder you from living for Him, serving Him, and going to heaven? See, unbelievers looking for a reason not to believe. Can you say amen? They're looking for some reason. Well, where'd those other people come from? Where did they come from? I don't know. I wasn't there. God was there. Amen. He decided it's not important for you to know that. Amen. Does that have anything to do with him hanging on the cross for you, dying for you, offering you forgiveness? Not a thing in the world. They're just trying to do away with creation. Watch out for the PhD business. I mean, that, you know, Dr. Fahrenheit got so many degrees, they call him Dr. Fahrenheit. Can you say amen? Amen. Watch out for that. Don't get your scriptural teaching from the History Channel. Professors at Bible colleges that don't even believe that Jesus was virgin born. Bible college. Did you know that Harvard and Yale, some of these places used to be Christian oriented? And now they're completely teaching humanism. And those that still have some semblance of Christianity are leaving out things that make Jesus Jesus and distinguishes him from the other Jesuses and Jesuses in the earth. To the Latin American community, there's a whole lot of Jesuses out there. Only it's pronounced Jesus. In fact, I remember coming home and telling my wife after leaving a Firestone and having my car worked on that I looked in and that the mechanic who did it had to sign the worksheet. And I looked down at the bottom of the worksheet and it said J-E-S-U-S. And I said, man, my car going to run good now? Jesus just worked on it. Can you say amen? Well, it wasn't Jesus, it was Jesus. Can you say amen? What distinguished Jesus? Amen. Because there's another title that was blended with deliverer and savior, and it was Christ. And Christ, no one upon this planet could ever hold that title, but the anointed one that was prophesied that would come, the Messiah. Can you say amen? Everybody say the anointed one. Amen. Not just any anointed one, but a specific anointed one. The anointed one who would be anointed and sent to be the Messiah. Can you say amen? Jesus, Messiah. Amen. Yeshua, HaMashiach. This is the Jesus that we're talking about. And in that name, Jesus, is a composite of all those ancient names of God. See, the Bible went on to say that he would also be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Everybody say the Mighty God. How can a baby laying in a manger have a title that he was born with called the Mighty God? Because he was the Mighty God. Can you say amen? That's why they put him on the cross. Because he acknowledged before Moses was, I am. And what manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Can you say amen? Never a man spake like this man. I guess not. Amen. Because he was there at creation and there was nothing made that he did not make. He was working one with the Father. Amen. From everlasting to everlasting. He was the Mighty God. He didn't quit being the Mighty God. That's the wonderful reality of the Christian faith. That God became flesh. And that God in flesh would take our place and let that flesh part die on the cross. Oh, by the way, God never sinned. God cannot sin. And God didn't have to go to hell and be punished. His mission was to shed blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice for sin. Can you say amen? Let me tell you where Jesus went on the cross. There was a thief on the cross beside him that said, if you're the Son of God, save yourself and save us. Someone said he was worried about his skin, not his sin. But the thief on the other side said, Lord, see, he told that guy asking him that, he said, let him alone. This man has done nothing wrong. And we're getting our just deserts. We're getting the rightful punishment for our sins. But let that man alone. And then he turned to Jesus and he said, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus says, today, you will be with me where? In paradise. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen to me. In paradise, in paradise. Well, where is paradise, Brother Venable? Amen. The Bible said when the rich man died, amen, he when Lazarus died, he went to Abraham's bosom. He went where Abraham was. Can you say amen? Amen. And when the rich man died, he went to another place where he's tormented in a flame. This is not the final consignment to the place that all the wicked will be punished forever. But this was another place. You could see across from one side to the other. On one side, there is bliss and there is happiness and there is joy and no sickness and no pain. And it's called paradise. On the other side is the compartment for the unrighteous dead that are already beginning to experience the terrors and the horrors that await them. Amen. The Bible said there was a great gulf fixed. You can't cross here and you can't cross there. And I'm going to tell you something. If you could see over to the other side, it will not be heaven. Can you say, man, there's no way we could enjoy heaven if we could look over, amen, into the other side. But let me tell you something. This is where Jesus, this is where Abraham was, awaiting that day when the deliverer would come, praise God. Nobody actually went to heaven, until after the resurrection. But there was a place called paradise. And Jesus said, today, that's where I'm headed. Hallelujah. Amen. They're going to see me. Abraham's going to embrace me. Are you listening to me? But he certainly isn't going to. See, everybody has to come up with something new. Amen. It's something different. That's why the old hymns are so important. Because the theology, people are not getting correct theology from many pulpits today. But you can get it from the music. If we can reintroduce the music, maybe we can reintroduce the message. Can you say amen? That's why the Odes Project has captured so many people's hearts. Because they heard what the early church was singing. Amen. And we need a pattern for our faith that fits the Bible. Can you say amen? I got a message for the new year. And it's not just for us. And I don't know how God's going to get it beyond. But he's good at getting it beyond us, isn't he? Praise God. But I have a message. And God's put it on my heart. Amen. I'm talking about the old pathways. Not because I'm old fashioned. Not because I'm aging. Not because I'm old school. But because God is perfect. And what he gave us is perfect. He is not evolving. He is not progressive, as one preacher said not long ago. Can you say amen? He is not in a box. Amen. We're not putting him in a box. Amen. It's we who need to adhere to what he has given us in his word. Because heaven will pass away. Earth will pass away. But this word is going to abide forever. Can you say amen and amen and amen? If we get back to the Bible, we're going to find some ancient pathways that are grown over. And we need to clean them up and get back in them. Hallelujah. Because they are the way of blessing. They are the way of righteousness. They are the way of holiness. There's a highway. It hasn't changed its name. It's the highway of holiness. Amen. You are a holy people unto the Lord. Peculiar people. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. Praise God. That highway of holiness is still there. Hallelujah. And the Bible said the unclean can't walk on it. Praise God. It's worth getting cleaned up to walk on this highway. Because on this highway, I'm not talking about when we get to heaven, but just on the way to heaven. Can you say amen? The lame man there shall leap and run as the young deer. And the blind man will see. And the deaf man shall hear. And the tongue of the dumb shall speak. Can you say amen? When the church used to be on that King's Highway, we had the miracle power of God. And it wasn't just in great crusades somewhere. It was when people came together and exalted the name of Jesus and bowed to no other God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God moved. Confirmed his word. He's called the Wonderful Counselor. He's called the Mighty God. Everybody say the Mighty God. This speaks of the power of God and the power of accomplishment in particular when it comes to Jesus. It's the first of all a statement of deity. The baby born in the manger is not just the Son of God, he's also God the Son. And all the fullness of God dwelt in the Lord Jesus. He said in me, and in him rather, dwelt all the fullness. Everybody say all the fullness. of the Godhead bodily. Said, I and my Father are one. He said, my words are not my words, but what I hear him speak. My works are not mine, but what I see him do. I'm working as one with the Father. And that's why he could be called the mighty God. That can never be said of any mere human baby. There's something else important about this title. The word translated mighty is the Hebrew word Gibor, G-I-B-O-R, and means strong one, or the powerful, or valiant warrior. Everybody say a military title. The mighty God is a military title. He's the God who fights for his people. Everybody say fights for his people. That's why Jesus said, and by the way that he fights for us is not just power alone, but in his intercessions. For listen, Jesus intercedes. He said, but I prayed for you. I prayed for you. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Amen. Faith in who? Faith in Christ. He's pointing him to his own intercessions in Peter's behalf when he's telling that your faith, amen, faith in Peter would have washed him out. He'd never preached again. But when his faith got back in Jesus Christ, he rose up from defeat and he went on and accomplished everything God called him to do. Can you say amen? And he said, and when you are converted, when you become another man through that faith in Christ, he said, strengthen your brethren. Go out and strengthen them. Can you say amen? Amen? That's how we make it. Amen. Sometimes all of us are going to need to draw strength from each other. And that's why gathering here is so important, and communicating and committing and connecting with one another. I've had people tell me time and time again, I can get just as much at home as I can at church. That's the problem. You're just getting. You're not giving of yourself. Can you say amen? How can you bear one another's burdens when you're sitting there looking at the boob tube and looking at a talking head on the boob tube? Amen? When you die, the only thing they'll notice is that your check isn't in the mail. Oh, thank you. They're not going to mark it when you die. Don't think they're going to limo. Don't think a jet plane's going to fly to Tampa International. Limo's going to come to your funeral. Huh? They're not coming. They're not coming while you're laying up in the bed in the hospital. They're not coming. They don't know you from Adam's house cat. They can't. I'm not blaming all of these folks. They can't be personal. When television ministry started, it started for the sick and the shut-ins who couldn't get to church. Not the people who lost heart and wouldn't come to church. Thank you for the hearty amen. Well, Brother Bimble, I can get just as much. See, we're in a consumer-driven society. Get. How can you lift up the hands that hang down? How can you strengthen the feeble knee lest it be turned out of the way? How can you pray for one another and confess your faults to one another? TV don't care. Can you say amen? What are you talking about? Wouldn't you be on it? Yes, I'd be on it. But I wouldn't be on it to take the place of the church or pastors. It's as if pastors don't exist anymore. And churches don't exist anymore. And we don't need them. But if you need somebody to sit down and talk with you and counsel with you like we did the other day, amen, it's good to have somebody, an actual person. Amen? I'm so glad Jesus came and became an actual person. I used to tell the story of the little boy, and I still tell it. He's scared to death like Sophie of thunderstorms. If it starts raining, there's one flash of lightning, my dog will run for cover, out of cover. If she's in a good place that I've made for her, she'll run into the storm and get under a big old elephant ear or something and think that's going to cover her, and getting drenched. And she's and she goes nuts. If she's in the house and we bring her in, I'm sitting at the computer, she will try, big, almost 90-pound dog will try to get up under where my legs are and to try to hide under the table. It's incredible. But anyway, little boy, you know, he's 5 years old. He it's thundering, it's night, and they've just kind of broke him. He's been one of these mama's boys. He's been in there with mom and dad, you know, and they said, no more. He's got his own room. You got to go to your room, you know. But it's thundering and lightning. He comes creeping in. They say, no, now you got to stay in your room. You got to stay in your room. And he said, but it's thundering. It's strong. Nothing's going to hurt you. And his daddy's walking him back to his bed. Nothing will hurt you. nothing will hurt you. He's laying him down. He's tucking him in. And he says, but Daddy, I don't want to be in here alone. He says, you're not alone. God is in here. God is right here with you. He looked around. He said, I want a God what's got skin on. I want a God what's got skin on. Can you say amen? Listen. Jesus. When Jesus came, God came with skin on. Hallelujah. We beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Can you say, man, that angels can't even look into without shielding themselves? But we beheld His glory when He took on flesh. We could look upon all the character, all the person and power of God with skin on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And He said, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because He was born the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Everybody say the everlasting Father. Now, this is not making the Godhead difficult to understand, because He came to show us the Father. He came to do the Father's bidding. He came to speak the Father's words and to do His Father's works. Can you say amen? He and the Father, though separate, are working as one. And in the sense of doing the works of His Father, He is everlasting Father. Now, my daddy's 91 and his health is failing. And I know I can't keep him here forever. And he's to the point he don't want to stay here forever. Amen. Listen to this. Amen. There's no one can make that statement but the eternal God. Every father has to pass away. Can you say amen? But He's the everlasting Father. Praise the Lord. And He's the mighty God. And He is the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, there is no time in your life when you are not under His watch care. Not one moment of your life are you not under His watch care and without His watch care. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's a place out in the Colorado Rockies. And there's real estate. There are people that have built in the heights of the Rocky Mountains for the view. You go on vacation to the mountains, and we've threatened someday, if we ever get freed up, to go and rent one of those chalets that is in the mountains and looks out over the mountains. Well, there's some places in the Rockies that are so high that realtors have designated it so high that snakes they won't live in that environment. So you go into a realtor's office in those mountains, someone will ask you. You say, "I want a house with a mountain view." They'll ask you, "Do you want it above the snake line or below the snake line?" Now, Pamela has already decided. The only good snake is a dead snake. If you have a pet snake, amen. God bless your heart, amen. But Pamela is not a snake person, amen. You like a snake, or you don't like a snake? Dead snake. Okay, all right. Amen. Don't kill your pet snake or nothing. But above the snake line or below the snake line? What does that mean? That means there's a place where the snakes just can't go and don't go. There's a place where they don't live. It's a place where you don't have to worry about getting snake bit, because the snakes just don't live that high. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let me tell you something about the strong tower. It means high above evil. Everybody say high above evil. That's what it meant. Praise God. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. The devil has bullied people long enough. Can you say amen? And we blamed him for our old weak flesh problems enough. Amen. Listen, God is for us. He invites us, amen, to come to Him. Amen. To run to Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. I at one time bought into the message for a little while. I wanted to highly develop my faith. I didn't need to run to God. I could stand on my faith, and my faith would bring me all my victories, and in so doing honor my God. No, you know who's getting the honor when your faith is getting you the victories? Your faith in and of itself, your faith is getting the honor. Amen. And your faith is a force, so really, you're going to take the honor. Can you say amen? But if you have to run to God for your victory, and you have your victory in God, and you keep your victory in God, can you say amen? And you give God the glory for your victory, not your faith. Because if you give your faith the glory, that means you are taller than the rest of these underdeveloped people down here. No, that's not what makes you big in God. Amen. Jesus said, if I didn't pray for you, Satan would sift you as the wheat. Can you say amen? I don't care how big your faith is. If I wasn't interceding, if I wasn't pleading for God's mercy in your behalf and showing him the scars on my body, amen, you couldn't stand another minute. Satan would sift you. But I did pray for you. And that's why when we get our crowns, glory to God. There's not a person in heaven wearing a crown. And when you get yours, you won't keep it on your head a split second. What are the 24 elders doing with their crowns? Throwing them at the feet of Jesus. Because they know if we're here, it's because you interceded. You intervened. You saved us. We couldn't save ourselves. And without you, we're a hunk of mud. Apart from me, what can we do? Even with your highly developed faith, apart from him, what can we do? Nada. Nothing. We're zero. Amen. Whatever we have, our sufficiency is of the Lord. Amen. He's divine. We're the branch. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Cut that branch off from that vine. We're nothing. We're nobody. Praise God. The force of nothing works without Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I've learned to run to the Lord. I've learned to run like crazy. Praise God. Over in your backyard, they live next to a preserve where there's all kinds of snakes and varmints. And sometimes they come over because he's right next to this kind of wooded area. Big community, but they're at the far end of the community, and the woods begin from right there near Doug's house. The lady was there last night who the guy took his German Shepherd during the summer for a walk in the woods. And German Shepherd get in the woods, any dog get in the woods with all those smells, they just go bananas. They got to run here and run there and run here and run there. And they don't even think about getting dehydrated or thirsty because their big old heart is just filled with adventure. And they're just running and running. And the German Shepherd's running and running and running. And all of a sudden he just plops over. Heat exhaustion. Way back in the woods. And the guy loves his dog, and he picks up that big old... Now, German Shepherd ain't nothing to fool with. He's strong. Amen. That's why they use him canine car. There's no Chihuahua back there. Can you say amen? You know, you'll never see on the side of a canine car Spike and look back there and see a Chihuahua with them big eyes. Drop the chalupa. Drop the chalupa. Can you say amen? You'll never step away from the enchilada. Step away. You'll never see that in a canine car. Honey, what is the most prominent dog you'll see? Big, strong, intimidating, grab you and bite your dog. Big German Shepherd sitting back there. Can you say amen? Here's this big German Shepherd with all this strength and ability, but he's exhausted and dehydrated, and he plops over. But his master, out of compassion and love and mercy, picks him up, puts him over his shoulders, and brings him back home. Walks him out of those woods. A big old dog. And I'm going to tell you, a big old dog just passed out. You think you know how long that tongue is? Let one of them pass out and the full length of that thing. I mean, that thing be laying on his shoulders. And brings him back, takes him to a vet, gets him rehydrated. They didn't think he was going to. Did he get snake bit another time? I don't know if he was. I know one got snake bit. Anyway. Valda's got snake bit. Your dog got snake bit. I mean, they get into trouble with all. But I can just see this big, strong, mighty, intimidating dog, just lifeless, if it wasn't for his master having compassion and love for him and picking him up and carrying him. Amen. Listen, folks. Jesus said, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as the wheat. Yes, sir. And nothing would stop him short of me interceding for you. So that this power of the Holy Spirit within you, the power of very God, amen, could give you strength that you do not have in and of yourself. Can you say amen? But if I didn't intercede, regardless of how highly developed your faith, see, your faith has to rest in His finished work on the cross and His continuing work, amen, as our high priest. Amen? Amen. When I'm like that dog, and listen, you say, well, if you develop your faith, you're never going to get to the point that you need that anymore, because you always got it together. I've heard these people. I heard a guy get so highly developed in faith, he said, I don't have any more problems. All I have is solutions. And I thought, you crazy. Crazy. You're out of your mind. Superman. He thinks he's Superman. He's not Superman. When a man says, and you hear that kind of language, when a man says, behold, I stand, the Bible said he better take heed lest he fall. You're the one, the self-sufficient, overconfident in your faith even. Amen? You're the next one marked for defeat. There's a pastor in Texas that was drugging women from his congregation and having relations with them. He's facing the rest of his life, probably, or most of his life, in prison right now. He pastored a mega church, which meant thousands of people attending. And there was a point in time when he stood and made declarations about faith. Look what my faith has got us here. Look what I have accomplished. Better take heed, lest he fall. It's like we never learn, do we? That when the flesh begins to take and touch the glory that is God's, that ministry's headed for trouble. That ministry's headed for trouble. And it may take years to come to light, but it will come to light. Can you say, man, it will come to light? Because when the flesh begins to take glory, then the flesh is in control. And when the flesh is in control, it's not going to stop with touching God's glory. It's going to want glory for itself. And if we will allow it to take glory from God, we're not going to stop it from any other pleasure that we want to fulfill the lust of it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The day of glorified men and women that the church puts on pedestals and runs after like spiritual groupies, that day is over. It has not brought a true revival. It has not kept the leaders of those movements. Can you say, man, it's brought a reproach on the gospel. And because of their pernicious ways, which come to light, the way of the truth is evil spoken of. It's harder to witness today because of many of these so-called spiritual leaders. Can you say, man? It's harder to talk to people about Jesus. It's harder to convince them that we don't want them for our financial gain today. Can you say, man? But I'm telling you, God has a revival on the stove cooking. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah for America. But I'm going to tell you something else. And I feel a spirit of prophecy on me. I'm not a prophet. I'm a pastor. But God's on me right now. And I'm going to tell you something. The day of man being glorified is over. God is not going to send revival to a multi-gifted evangelist. Hallelujah. God is going to send it to the church, where Jesus is exalted. And no man gets the glory when somebody's healed or delivered. And you don't have to buy it, because it ain't for sale. You couldn't buy it if you were a billionaire, because Jesus paid for it at Calvary. Such as I have, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. You can't plant a seed to get what He paid for at Calvary. You can't buy it for $100. You can't buy it for $1,000. You can't buy it for $1,000,000. You can't buy. Listen, you were not redeemed. Disassociate money from it altogether. You were not redeemed with silver and gold. Come on, church. You were not redeemed with silver and gold after the tradition of your fathers. They said, if you're going to get something from anybody, you're going to have to buy it from them. Ain't nobody going to give nobody nothing. That all changed at Calvary. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You were not redeemed with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of a lamb, without spot and without blemish. How dare us start to package and sell for profit what he paid for with his life's blood and suffering on Calvary. Amen. If we did it the way they're doing it today, the man at the gate beautiful would have had to write a check. Can you say amen? But Peter said, silver and gold I don't have. Forget all that stuff. But I've got something that has been given to us freely. And the Bible said, freely received, you give it the way you got it. Can you say, man, you didn't have to buy it? You couldn't buy it. You received a gift. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the gift of God. Can you say, man, it's not of works lest any man should boast. Praise God. Isn't it good at the foot of Calvary? We're on common ground. Praise God. Hallelujah. Rich man don't have no sway at the foot of the cross. Somebody said there's something special. Something special. Something about the $1,000 gift. Well, of course it's special. Oh, there's something. You hear it all the time. Amen. Oh, it's the $1,000 gift that has double favor with it. Well, Jesus was standing where they were giving, looking at how they gave, and a little woman brought 2 pence. And he says, there's something special. There's something very special. Oh, there's something special. There were people giving the big gifts, but it didn't cost them anything. But this woman gave everything that she had. She was a widow and this is all she had and she brought it. And Jesus stood up and said, there's something special about this gift. That was over 2,000 years ago and I'm honoring her because he did here today. 2,000 years from now, these guys, you won't know who they ever were. But we know her, don't we? And he said, out of her penury. Said she's given more than anybody. And they're saying, if it ain't 1,000, it's not worth a whole lot of God's attention. Because I need gas for my jet plane. Takes me $25,000 to fly that sucker there and back. 452 first class in an airline. Send it in. Special blessing on the 1,000. Nothing on the dollar from the widow that's all she has. No recognition at all. Blessed oil, blessed water. People are, they're buying water now. If it's for sale, they're running out of ways. They're running out of ways. We'll never see revival through this. Never see revival. Haven't seen it. We've seen greed. We've seen worldliness. We've seen more preaching about the material world than about the spiritual realm. We've seen an earthbound church get more earthy. Amen. And you have to go to a funeral to hear a good sermon on heaven. Something is wrong in the church. Can you say amen? Because heaven is where we're headed, and heaven is our home. And the Bible said we're to lay our treasure up there, not down here. Praise God. Amen. For where your treasure is, now your heart's going to go. Something special about it. God changed everything all around. And he condescended to be born in a manger. In a manger. In Bethlehem. Manger means flat, like a tabletop. You've seen the mangers that are kind of neat and cozy looking. Because, you know, they put some hay in the trough and that could have been. But the actual manger, they just had a flat surface and they dumped the food for the animals on top of that flat surface that was raised. And all of that stuff they dumped and the animals came and ate it. They had to clean that off. They had to get some hay or whatever they had available. And they had to make a bed for him. Remember, they were making a bed for one whose royal title at birth. Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, the Prince, the Prince of Peace. Did you know of all of those titles, there's one that man embraces more than any of the other? Prince of Peace. Because the Bible said down in this fallen world, regardless of your wealth, material possessions, and riches, and fame, and experiences, the Bible said down in this fallen world, the wicked are like the troubled sea, whose waters, that means it's so boisterous that it actually affects the sea bottom, as deep as the sea is, whose waters what? Cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace. See, there's no price. You can't buy peace. It only comes from God, and it's priceless. It's priceless. I took a vacation when I was going through nervous exhaustion. I took a vacation, my wife and I, and we went to St. Augustine, rented a condominium because it's cheaper than a motel that you rent daily to rent a condo for a week. Literally cheaper. But you've got two bedrooms, two baths, all the appliances, because people use these. People with money come down and use them in season, and then they rent them out. And you've got a balcony with a barbecue pit. And I don't mean you've got to go down the road to find the water. You look straight at the water. Beautiful. Just beautiful. And I remember sitting in there for a week. I think we came home early. Sick with nerves and not having. When that peace. Oh, if you're trying to get enough stuff to make you feel happy and fulfilled and secure, if you get God's peace, godliness with contentment is the true riches. It's great gain. Can you say amen? Right now, I haven't been back there. Amen. Amen. But sometimes I just get outside and sit under this little old thing we got out there and just sit and just enjoy the goodness of God and the peace of God. Amen. And I don't have to go somewhere to hunt it down. Praise God. Amen. It just, when it comes, and there's sometimes I lose it, and I have to get down on my knees and refocus on the Lord. But when it begins to return, I can feel it coming. I can feel that calm. I can feel that coming. Praise God. Last night at the party, somebody got two rolls of toilet paper and some Pepto-Bismol. It was a trick box. Yeah, everybody got something last night. And somebody, this crazy Dave, don't tell him I called him crazy. Anyway, crazy Dave, amen. He got two rolls of toilet paper. Did he get it first? I don't know who got it first. Somebody got two rolls of toilet paper, some Pepto-Bismol. And, you know, they got it and they looked at it. And you know, somebody can take it away if they want to. Nobody wanted the two rolls in it. I've seen the time. But anyway, last night wasn't it. I've got God's peace right now. But I've seen the time when I thought, you know, take the candy, give me the Pepto. And the toilet paper. Anyway, that's a whole other story. We won't go there today. But they took it in good stride. Whoever got that didn't, you know, throw a fit and found out it was the best prize there. Because what went with that they didn't know went with it, was the biggest cash prize there. And they didn't find out until they thought that's all there was. Boy, when you just get content, be content. Be content with such things as you have. That means find something to be thankful for right now. How many ate this morning? How many are going to eat this afternoon? Praise God. Okay, there you are. And you probably aren't thinking anything about it. But there are people, there's millions. 63 million people will have died on this planet. A lot of them children, 63 million, will pass away on this planet because of malnutrition and the disease related to it. 63 million will die on this planet. The end of this year, 63 million will have died because they're not going to have. They got up this morning and there was no food. This afternoon, no food is coming in. 63 million. There's something obscene about living in multi-million dollar homes as Christians. There's something seriously wrong. And to say, not only to do it, but to justify it by saying God wants this for me. Not the God who put flesh on. Not the Jesus that we're supposed to be following. Can you say amen? When God came in flesh, we could see what He wanted. We could see what He willed. We could see what God would do if He were a man, because He became man. And the Bible said, be ye imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love even as He walked. Can you say amen? They're trying to make Him something He isn't. They need to let Him be what He's presented as in the Scripture, because they're messing with the holy and the pure and trying to pollute it. And honey, I believe there's a line being drawn. I believe there's a line being drawn. And it's not just them. Amen. It's the crazy Christians who follow them instead of Him and pattern their life after them instead of Him. Amen. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to follow Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And if you follow Him, believe me, you're not going to be like them. Few amens and some people looking at me kind of funny. If you get in this Bible, you'll find out what He was like. And as we behold as in a glass His face, we will be transformed into His image. Hallelujah. Amen. Be transformed into His image. And we'll go from glory to glory, and it will even be by the Spirit of God, God's Spirit, as we behold Him and say, I want to be like Him. I don't want to be like me. I don't want to be like them. I want to be like Him. I want to be a follower of God. And the Bible said He made, let this mind be in you. First, your mind has to change. We've got to hurry and close. Which was in Christ Jesus. Some of you in here are trying to fill your empty hole that's reserved for Him as a Christian with material things. And nothing works. Nothing works. You can't find contentment. You can't find it. And we compromise our faith to be like them. And look where they're looking for what only God can give. Amen?
Amen.
And that message to this nation that is so materialistic is the last message we need, just to precede the coming of Jesus Christ. He's coming soon. The Bible said we brought nothing into this world. And we're not taking anything when He comes. But godliness with contentment. Oh, that's great gain. Praise God. 63 million people are going to die before as this year ends from malnutrition and the diseases related. I am going to be a thankful Christian this year.
Amen.
I'm not looking over the fence to see who's got what, because I know what I have in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And if God wants to give me more, that's fine, but I want Him to know that what He's done for me in Jesus on the cross, and what Jesus did when He condescended to come down and lay in that manger and go to the cross in my place, that my God would come to rescue me by suffering my punishment in order to save me. I am grateful. I am so thankful. Now, when you leave here today, you're either going to dwell on your problems, your hurt, your pain, your heartache, your heartbreak, or His sacrifice. If you dwell on your stuff, it's going to push you right down into the hole. If you dwell on what He's done for you, it's going to lift you up as you lift Him up. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And I choose this Christmas with all our problems. Amen. I've been a pastor for almost 4 decades. I was a pastor before I came to you guys, so it's pushing 40 years. That's incredible that I'm not a basket case. It's absolutely, honestly, 1,700 leave the ministry per month in America. Over 17,000, pushing 20,000 a year. Lay down. They don't quit God, they just quit preaching. You say, well, they wasn't really called. If they were really called, they could take it. Honey, back off. Till you've done it, just back off. Can you say amen? You do not know of which you speak. I don't take it. I have been overwhelmed. I've been down to Tarshish looking for a boat out to keep from going back to Nineveh. Can you say, man, it hasn't been easy being me. I have not become rich or famous. Can you say, man? And don't want to be. Didn't want to be when I got in this, but boy, Jeremiah was both called and anointed. And he said, there's times, he said, I wish I had a house. I'm going to paraphrase him, but it's in there. I can show it to you. He said, I wish I had a house way out in the wilderness, in the middle of nowhere. That the only way you could find it is if you got lost in the woods. Can you say, man, you come upon this house out there. There ain't no map going to get you to my house. Can you say, man, a wayfaring man, he's got to be way out of his way to come out there where I am. He said, you know, I don't need all of this. I'm preaching. They put me in a dungeon. I tell them the truth. They slap my face. They feed me on the bread of affliction for telling the truth. Can you say, man, I don't need this. They ain't listening to me and they won't listen to God. I don't need this. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Amen. He said, I wish I had a house way out there where the only way you'd find it if you got lost. Run up on this place. You know what he'd tell you? He has no welcome mat out. He's not given to hospitality. Go to the door, say, what do you want? Say, well, I'm lost. Well, go that way. He'll take you back. Here's your drink of water. Now go on. They finally put him down in a dungeon. Fed him on the bread of affliction. You know what that is? We won't kill him, but we ain't going to bless him either. And they gave him water and bread. The bread of affliction. That's it. Bread and water. That's it. And he's down in this dungeon. And the Bible said when they put him in, you got to understand some of their kind of jails is a hole in the ground with great work over the top. And they lowered him down in it. And when he hit bottom, there was no bottom as we would know it. He didn't have a dirt floor. It said he sunk down in the mire. Can you say amen? Now you can use your imagination. Amen. When he had to go and anybody in it before him, there's only one place. It's right down in here. He sunk down in the stench and the nasty and the dirty and the damp. And he had to live and eat and sleep there. And guess what he said? He said, I'm no more going to speak his words. It's bad enough that they won't listen and don't want truth. And listen, oh, by the way, they had prophets, though. Don't think they didn't have preachers. It wasn't they didn't have any, didn't want any. They had plenty. The false prophets were there telling, peace, peace. It's going to be all right. Don't sweat it. Oh, the whole world's going to be, but you're going to, oh, it's all right. Bless your little heart. Come on, everything's all right. Everything. Oh, don't worry about a thing. Amen. The Republicans will take care of it. Amen. Come on. Amen. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Can you say, hey, nobody can take care of it if we don't have a revival in America. You understand me? We're in too deep. Without God's blessing, it don't matter who's up there. Until this nation turns around. And that means a whole lot of people are going to have to quit listening to false prophets. And get into repentance and embrace it. The call for righteousness. But he sat down in there and he mused on these things. He thought about what God had told him. And he said, I couldn't stay. Nobody's listening. I'm down here, but I couldn't stay, for it was as fire shut up in my bones. And when Israel got into deep trouble with no way out, and all the false prophecies failed, they said, is he alive? Is he alive? I don't believe America is ready for truth because I don't think it's tough enough yet. I know the church isn't ready because the church of Laodicea that matches that won't let Jesus in the door. I do not expect to be welcome there. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is not sinners in the world. this is a sinful church. And their sin was materialism. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Did any man hear my voice? And where is he standing? To the church of Laodicea. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him. They were not interested in developing a spiritual life with God. They were not interested in spiritual things at all. He said, you say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's exactly the testimony that Pentecostalism, the majority of Pentecostals are following today. And he said, that's what you say. Because of your wealth, your possessions, but I say you're poor, you're miserable, you're blind, and you're naked. And the reason you can't see it's because you're lukewarm. I would that you were hot or cold. Because you're lukewarm, I reject you. I'll spew you out of my mouth. That means to throw up. You make me sick at my stomach. But you know what he also said? As many as I love, there is a solution. I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And then he's got the true blessings ready to pour upon. The problem is today, in those churches, in those circles, the message of repentance is not welcome and is not preached. And there are preachers that get on television and boast in the fact that they do not mention repentance or sin. Amen. Everything's going to be all right. They cry peace when there is no peace. Right now, and your government is reclosed. I don't want to scare you. It's the last chance before Christmas I have you here. But right now, in your government, it has been suggested to them that they tell people what to do. I remember when they did it for us, and brother, you can come to know I'm closing. When I was in school during the Cold War, elementary school, they gave us all dog tags. We had drills. The sound of a certain drill, you dropped to your, this is kind of silly, but you dropped to your knees and crawled under your desk. You wore your dog tag. Why? Why did children have dog tags? During the Cuban Missile Crisis times, back beyond that. Because if they found your body after a nuclear attack, they could identify you. Because kids don't carry wallets and identification. So I was used to hearing a certain thing, and we'd go through the drill, and I'd jump out and crawl under my desk. Your desk is going to really help during a nuclear attack. Felt very secure living under the shadow of possible nuclear attack from Soviet Russia. We live with that. And today, right now today, last week, the suggestion has been made to our government to tell everybody in America what to do. In the event that they're able to do what they would love to do more than anything else. And that's explode a nuclear device in a major city in America. Just get it here and explode it. And they said, because the tendency is to run from the blast. But what people need to do is get indoors, shut the doors. If you're in a car, stay in the car. Isn't that incredible? Just stay where you are. Because if the blast, initial blast, don't just make you dust, the radiation comes in through those cracks in there. If you're out in it, that's where it gets you. And it's highly concentrated right after the blast. You've got to wait it out a little while and then try to move further on. That's what you got to do to survive. Even if you make it through the initial blast. That's the recommendation of those in the know. But the U.S. government said, we're not going to deliver that. They're on record. We're not going to do that because the possibility is so minute. We do not want people to be unnecessarily upset. I'm going to tell you something. the only thing between us and our enemies doing what they want to do to us is God. Not our military might, not our CIA. We've forgotten 9/11. All of our defenses were breached by a plan that we could not conceive could ever be hatched. Therefore, we had no ability to defend from it. And they did everything they set out to do. And God was not asleep when it happened. It was a wake-up call to a self-sufficient, proud, pushing God farther out of courtrooms, classrooms, everything, until the town square become a God-free zone where we don't want this on one day a year to represent a Christian community in America. Incredible time that we're living without the hedge that God has put around this nation. We're vulnerable in spite of all our military can do. Are you saying it's going to happen? No, I'm not. What I'm saying is that without God's hedge, we're not safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. And that's where our safety is. Can you say, will you stand your feet today? Hallelujah. This is a Christmas that I will not be looking for inspiration from the television presentation. I've given up. I quit looking to television ministry to inspire me at Easter when they quit talking about the resurrection. And I tuned in one year and heard a secular Christian song on a Christian broadcast and went over to the Nashville channel and heard, Mary, did you know that this holy child had to go to the secular Nashville channel to get a Christian-oriented Christmas song? Because we're just as enamored with jingle bells and Randolph the Root-Nosed Red Deer. You'll remember that if you forget everything else. Can you say amen? And there's nothing wrong with these. I like jingle bells, and I like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I have no problem with old Saint Nick. But when I get up Christmas morning and I turn on a Christian channel, I just want to see Jesus exalted. That's just the way I am. Can you say amen? And I want to see a revival in America. And I want to see people support God's truth to help us get that truth to wherever God wants to send it. Somehow, God is going to get His truth out. Praise God. Amen? Beyond these walls. There are Christians that used to have a white, hot love for God. There are people that used to get saved, and the next thing they wanted is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they wouldn't stop seeking until they got baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Praise God. They wanted everything God had. And I'm so proud of some of you guys in here for your stand for the Lord, for your following alone in the Lord. Amen. For you receiving God's help through prayer and coming back to His presence to give Him thanks for what He's done for you. Praise God. Amen. I'm excited about the new year and what God is going to do right here. Praise God. Amen. Sooner or later, people are going to come and say, is there any word from the Lord? And when they do, man, you know this is the right place to come. We're going to bring a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you play that? Let's have a Christmas song before we leave. It may not sound like your traditional Christmas song. It's just a Christ-exalting song. But I believe it's appropriate. Praise God. Let's bring it up. You can sing the chorus.